It's nice to see you all this evening. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read a few verses there. Ephesians chapter 3, and starting in verse 8, we'll just read down to the end of the chapter. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Let's just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that when we were lost in the darkness of this world, that he went to Calvary, and he hung upon the cross, and he bore in his own body our sins. He bore my sin. There he became my substitute, that we may have a more abundant life. Father, this evening we just ask that you would make our hearts thankful for the things that we have, that we may leave this place rejoicing in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may grant us to draw closer to him. Father, we may put ourselves aside, that we would be ever putting to death that old man. So we just ask for your help this evening as we consider these passages from your word, and we ask it in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening I hope to encourage your hearts as we look at the word of God. As I was getting ready for this message, I haven't spoken since the end of the spring, and my mind's always kind of racing with thoughts just as I'm reading through the scriptures and things come up, and so I kind of had accumulated a whole bunch of smaller thoughts, and it came time to put a message together. I was having a hard time picking one thing, so I ended up kind of just jamming everything together, and I hope it's just some enjoyable thoughts for you. I know it's just some passages and some verses that have encouraged me, especially over the summer. As most of you know, I'm sure, I'm going to Holland College. I'm taking the practical nursing program there, and it's been a great opportunity to enter into kind of a world, I guess you could say, that I've never really knew before. And I was just kind of really meditating on that lately after working the summer. I was working two jobs. I was pretty busy. I worked full-time at Beech Grove Home, and I was part-time at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital as a psychiatric attendant, and so I got to see a lot of things, and a lot of things that I seen just made me so thankful for what I had in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just hope that, again, that your hearts would be encouraged. And I want to flip over. I'm going to go back to Ephesians just at the end of the message. I'm just going to kind of leave it for now, but if you want to turn over to Colossians chapter 1, it's another passage that I came across over the summer that I was encouraged by. I went over to Cambridge with my wife and Brian Taylor and Stan and Norma Murray, Kara's grandparents, and we went over there, and they had a Bible reading during their conference over there, and this was the passage, and there was just some things that fit in well with some other thoughts that I had, and just want to read a couple of verses here, starting in verse 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And I'd also been reading in Genesis. Oh, that which reminds me. I think most people here know, but Kara's pregnant. So I was supposed to make that announcement at the first, and I kind of forgot, and it just kind of came up. Just kind of throw it out there. Like I say, most people know, but we're trying to make sure that everybody gets the news. And she always gives me a dirty look because I just kind of throw it out there. But I can't figure a better way to do it yet. But when I found out that she was pregnant, I thought, well, I'd like to read to her every night and the baby. And so I was like, where am I going to start? And I started in Genesis. And I was just kind of, I thought, well, I'll start at the first and see how far we get. And but anyway, I've just been reading in Genesis, and I kind of thought it's a little bit cliche to start at the first and just kind of read. But I was reading there, and I was just kind of reinvigorated, I guess, over some of the things that I was reading there. And you're kind of reading over the creation account and some of these things early in the scripture, and you kind of think, oh, I know all this, but really it's something fascinating every time you go through the Word of God. And just in conjunction with some of these other things, I thought back to this, and I thought of at creation, when God created everything, and he said that it was good. I just got to thinking about that, and I thought that was so wonderful. In the very beginning, and God created the light, and he said that it was good. And each thing he created along the way, he said it was good. And at the end, he said that it was all very good. And I thought how you have this world basically of light and perfection, and God said that it was good, and how wonderful that was. And man brings sin onto the scene, and we have darkness. Darkness entered the world through sin. And I think of the verse in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, and it's a well-known verse, so I'm not going to turn there, where it speaks of sin coming into the world through one man. And sin was passed on to all men after that. And so I was thinking about the order of events that happened kind of in the chronology of the scriptures. And you had this perfect world that was good, and light was there. And then man came, and it was darkness. And we've seen that darkness and what it did to mankind, and even creation groans under the weight of sin. And then we see the Lord Jesus Christ come into the world. And if you'd like to turn to John chapter 1, we see this beautiful introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's nice in the Gospel of John. It's kind of different than the other Gospels of the introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And in verse 4, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and again there was light in the midst of darkness. And you can just imagine in your mind this dark world that really hadn't seen true light for so long, and it's just like a lantern everywhere he went. And I always go back to that when witnessing to people. Some people come up with the question, why did they crucify the Lord Jesus Christ? And to me, I think that was one of the big reasons. He came as a light, and he revealed people's sin everywhere he went. He showed all those things that had been hidden in the darkness, sinfulness. And they hated him because of that, because he showed their sin. He showed them that they weren't as right as they thought they were in their own eyes. But back in Colossians, I love that it calls us the saints in light. And says we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. And just kind of carrying that line of thought through, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. Well, I guess you could say, in a sense, darkness overcame the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that he was overcome of any man. He laid down his life, but they killed him. They hated him and they killed him. And there was darkness. But the hope of the saints in light now is to go to our final home, our eternal home. And I love how it describes, it says, there'll be no need of the sun there, for the Lamb is the light. Isn't that wonderful? The wonderful hope that we have. But this just kind of got me thinking about some of the things that I'd run into this summer, and I was just kind of humbled by how sometimes I think it's true of a lot of us, and perhaps in church life, we go about our daily lives, and we have our Christian friends, and we go to church on Sunday, and we just see a very limited scope of the world. We know that it's a terrible place, and we read the news, and it's hard to imagine all the things that go on sometimes, but really hit home for me this summer is some of the things that I've seen working on, not just Unit 9, but anywhere, really. Just the darkness that's in the heart of man, the darkness that's in the world, and what that does to people. And it takes away their hope, makes them despair. And I've seen one individual, one of my very first rotations that I did in Unit 9, and it was such a, one of the first things you see, it's just kind of one of those things that stays in your mind, and he had tried to commit suicide. He'd slit his wrists, and he'd had almost like an S shape going all the way up his arm, and they were just so deep, and when I seen them, they were stapled together, and it was just such a shocking thing to see, just the hopelessness of mankind, and then to come across drug addicts who had done so much harm to their body. They're trying to shoot up with intravenous drugs, and this young girl, in her 20s, she had ruined all the veins in her arms, and she was trying to shoot drugs into her chest and the veins she could find in her chest, and she created an abscess, and just so difficult to see, and speaking with her, and even on Unit 9, they've got a special section there for adolescents, young people, teenagers who had tried to take their life or struggling with addiction problems. And people that I had had to sit with in one-on-one cares who are risk for suicides and wanted to bang their head against the wall and tried to stab a pencil into their head and these different things. It shocked me so much to see all these things and to see that it's right there all around us on our own island. You know, we can see the news, read the newspaper, whatever it is, and sometimes it seems kind of pie in the sky, but it's right there all around us, and it just got me thinking with the darkness that's in the world and the depravity of mankind and how man has nowhere to turn to, hopeless, and it breaks your heart, and to know that there's a Savior with his arms open wide to receive them unto himself, to give them joy. I think of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, where it says, the wages of sin is death. You think of the darkness. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, you can turn there if you like. It's a fairly well-known passage, but this is one of those verses that stuck in my mind when I was a teenager. We'd had a guest speaker to Monique who had been there a number of times, and perhaps you've heard him focus on this verse, Arnett McEntee. He used to come, and I remember it seemed just about every message that he spoke, he'd be down for a week of gospel meetings or something, and he'd emphasize this verse, "Thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And we hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And he used to call that a superabundant life. I remember him emphasizing that, a superabundant life that is offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. And just some more verses. You don't have to follow along with all these. I'm just going to read through most of them pretty quickly about light and darkness. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And that brought to my mind the truth in the scripture that there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. The things that mankind strives after in this world, the money and the fame, the popularity and the power, I mean, it's right from young to old, but it affects everybody, and I've certainly seen that this summer. But the young people getting pulled into this lure, this idea of sin. And, you know, I thought the devil tries to imitate that light sometimes. He's referred to as the angel of light. We've got this, well, I think he tries to portray to the world himself as this terrible red demon of some sort that you'd know him. You'd see him coming a mile away, but he's an angel of light, and he tries to imitate that light. He puts the glitter on in the world, and he tries to attract people to sin, and it just ends up leaving people absolutely ruined. And sometimes we don't see the end of that, you know, and up until really my experience this summer, a lot of times you hear, "Oh, so-and-so, they seem to be doing so well," or, "I haven't seen this young person for a while." You wonder what happened to them. Well, you get to see the end of some of these little encounters with sin, and it starts off so small. And in school, we did a rotation. It was mostly in class. We did a thing on community health care and home care and different things that you see when you go into people's homes. And we watched some videos from Vancouver, and these are kind of some of the bigger centers in Toronto and stuff like that, where they have street nurses, and they go into the street, and they deal with the addicts and the homeless and these different people that have needs. And you see the end of what starts off as a little thing. And I think for young people especially, to keep this in mind, that the pleasures of sin are only for a season, and it leads down a road of such destruction that you can't even imagine. You cannot even imagine. And that's where the battle is in this world. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, again, that's another, none of these are verses that you don't know, but it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And again, we have that the rulers of the darkness of this world. And back in John chapter 8 and verse 12, we continue to see some of these teachings. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And in chapter 12 of the same book, in verse 46, it says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." And those are wonderful truths, and I hope this is an encouragement to the saints to be reminded from the Word of God that we ought not to tamper with these things that are that are found in the darkness. We don't toy with them, we don't play with them. The scripture tells us that we shouldn't even talk about them. It's a dark pit. And to play in the edge of that pit is so destructive. We don't even understand how dangerous it is, the vices of this world and the devil. But to be in the light, and we turn over to 1 John, and you can turn here, where we have some good teaching on this. 1:7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Walk in the light as he is in the light. That is where the Lord Jesus Christ is to be found, is in the light, not in the darkness of this world. And may we be having fellowship with him and fellowship with the saints, and it's so easy for us to be at work or to be at school, wherever it is, and to make friends with the world. And it's easy to get kind of buddy-buddy, and you want to fit in, and you don't want to step on any toes, and you go along, and before you know it, you're a little closer than maybe you should be. And it's true that it is not so much you that influence those people around you, but it's them that influence you. If only it were so that we could go and bring the Lord Jesus Christ to these people. But the truth of the matter is, when you do that, you find all of a sudden that you have no problem maintaining a friendship because they're not interested anymore when you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's good in a way, that the work will get done for you. As long as you bear the light, be as a city that is set on a hill, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you go, you don't have to worry about being dragged into these things. And there's a verse, one of my favorite verses actually, in the chapter 1 here. In verse 5 it says, John is speaking to these people as you read through this letter that John writes. See, these people are very dear to John. He writes to them in love. And you think, here is a man who put his head upon the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're familiar with that from the Gospels. He laid his head upon the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's often been said that he could hear the heartbeat of God. You know, how amazing that must have been to be in a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was right beside him. And you think of all the things that he would have seen and learned of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have this letter that he's writing to these people and say, well, these guys are really going to get the inside track, you know, expound to us of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of what he taught about his Father and all those things. And I love the simplicity of this verse. He says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "and declare unto you," says, and this is John the Apostle who was so close to him, said, "This is the message that we've heard of him and declare to you," and you just, and I read these things, I'm almost rubbing my hands together, thinking, oh, what's it going to be, you know? "Take us into the deep waters and teach us the greatness of God." It says, God is light. So simple. "This is the message which we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." I find the simplicity of that just astounding and so powerful, that God is light. And he bids us to follow him, to be imitators of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live as he did, and hopefully will be a testimony to the world that's lost in darkness. And I think of one opportunity I had this summer. There was a gentleman that I worked with at Beech Grove, and I was on a week of evenings, and the evenings are a little bit better in one sense because you have a little bit more time when you get your work done. I remember around 9 o'clock we would start to finish up, and around 10 o'clock they did the report to the nurse supervisor, and then 10 to 11 was a little bit slack, but and some of them like to just kind of put their feet up or whatever, and can't blame them. They had a hard evening's work, but there was this one fellow that was the last one to bed, and he was one of the gentlemen that I was watching, and he always took his Bible out before he went to bed, and he read his Bible, and he had a little book that somebody had given to him, and he enjoyed to read that, and he said to me one of the first nights I was with him, and I hadn't really had a chance to talk to him about it, and he asked me what John chapter 3 and verse 16 meant. I thought, well, now that's a good opportunity. And so we got talking about that, and it wasn't so much that. He was reading in John chapter 3, and he was kind of interested in some things surrounding that. But eventually he came to the point, he was troubled about his sin. And he asked me what a Christian was. And I think it was the last time that I spoke here. We went through that whole thing with the cue cards and writing those answers down, and I thought that was kind of interesting. It wasn't that long after that. He asked me what a Christian was, and so I got to talk to him about that. But it was an interesting experience with him because it came to be a routine with us that we would spend from about 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock every time I worked an evening. I think the Lord had a hand in it that I was almost always with this gentleman, although the residence that I was assigned to got shifted around. I worked with him a lot. And in the evenings, we would usually spend that time talking and praying, and sometimes I'd sing a hymn to him or something like that. What struck me was a lot of times we talk about the struggles that people have with the scriptures and the truth that's contained therein and what it means to believe. And here was a man, when I first talked to him, he almost had me convinced. He would always refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as, he would refer to him as my Savior and how he loved his Lord. And on one occasion he said to me, I believe that Jesus died and that he was buried and he rose again. But he was troubled by his sin, so troubled every night. And I tried to teach him that there's forgiveness to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ when you put your faith in him. But I was starting to kind of, if I hadn't talked to him too much, if maybe it was just a passing thing, I might have thought that he was a Christian by the way he talked, but every night I came back, it was the same thing every night. He would go to bed with a troubled mind, worrying about a sin. You know, what would happen in the end when he stood before God, and that's really the test, isn't it? People can think a lot of things, but what's going to happen when you stand before God? And he was worried about that, and every night he said he would ask for forgiveness for his sins. But what I discovered is that he didn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was the most evident case that I've ever seen in my life of somebody who believed something with their head but not their heart. And that's what we talk about a lot, isn't it? And some people have even said there's 18 inches between heaven and hell. And that's the difference between your head and your heart. And of course, we know that it's not really the organ of the body that we're talking about, but the center really of who we are is the heart. But here was a man who believed everything the Bible taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Believed that he walked on earth, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And he would even struggle sometimes, even to the point of tears, with how could those people crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. He would become upset by that. And that kind of convicted my heart a little bit. But every night he would struggle with this idea of his sin. And I told him that you can have forgiveness once and for all. And of course, we talk so much, we don't have enough time to cover everything. But the last day that I was there, it really hit home with me. This must have been on his mind because I was actually in somebody else's room helping them. And he stopped outside the door and he called me out. And he referred to the story of Daniel. And he said he had a question about it, and I said, go ahead. And he said, you know, Daniel went into the lion's den, and he was saved. And then after that, he said there was those men who put the king up to these things. They were thrown in with their wives and their children. And he said to me, and he was sincere, and he was upset. He said, how can you tell me that a merciful God would allow that to happen? Innocent children being thrown into the lions. And that's kind of a tough question to be put right on the spot with. But what it boils down to, and what I told him right there on the spot, is it's a matter of trusting God and trusting his word, and that God will do what is right. Now, God doesn't stop all the bad things that happen in this world. Whether that was right or not is besides the point. It was the king that threw those people in, and there's terrible things that happen in this world all the time that God allows to happen. He doesn't stop every iniquity that happens in this world. There will be a day of reckoning, and there will be a day of judgment when all will be set forth. What I seen in this man at that time was an inability to trust God, to take God at his word, whatever it might be. And he was hung up on this, but he was hung up on something else too. He didn't believe that God had the power to forgive his sins once and for all. He thought there was something that he had to do, something he had to add to that situation. Good works. He thought he was going to, and he was a man who had a spotted past, and he was regretful for the things that he had done in his life, and he was grieved by them. And you know, it was that typical wanting to kind of turn a new leaf. And he said to me on one occasion, I came in one night to talk, and I always look forward to having our talks, and he had a smile on his face, like, I think I have it figured out. I said, oh. I said, go ahead. And he said, I think it's grace, he said, plus works. I said, no, we're going backwards. So, and that was after showing him Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which is just the opposite, but obviously confused, but he had that in his mind, that he had to add something to it. And just that experience, even there, this individual who was so troubled by his sin every night, and sometimes he wouldn't be able to sleep because of it. And I pray for him still, and hope that he'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in thinking of all these things, and if we could just go back to Ephesians for a moment, chapter 3, where we started. And as I said, just experiencing some of these things over the summer, and any time that you witness to people and tell them the Lord Jesus Christ and they reject God's Son, it's hard. And it's hard to get in that mind frame of why somebody would do it, but it made me thankful for what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening, I hope that you can walk away with that, to be thankful for what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody here that is not saved, has not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was interesting after having done that little bit of a survey about what a Christian is and how you become a Christian, reading some of those responses, it became evident to me, and sometimes maybe this is overlooked, that there can be people in this building that have been coming here for a long time that maybe have a head knowledge of all these things, but when it comes right down to it, they have never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a joy I had reading over this passage. And you go back to verse 8, where it speaks there of the grace that is given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The riches that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And down in verse 10, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. In verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And I keep going back to that in the Christian life, that we were saved by grace through faith. faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that life of faith was started at that time when we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Christian life is a life of faith. Everything we do, that doesn't change. We don't suddenly mount up the strength after we put our faith in Christ to go it on our own. It's a life of faith still. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. And I love that we're encouraged there to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And there we see it just Paul here writing, he just seems to be grasping for words to describe what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he encourages us to comprehend, and yet he uses words like unsearchable. And that's what happens. Sometimes I think if I were to put anybody here on the spot and say, tell me what the riches that you have in Christ are, well, you'd have a beautiful list, I'm sure. But our minds would come to an end of thinking. But that's the wonderful thing, is when you go to the Word of God, you find, oh, it just keeps on going, and it keeps on going, and it keeps on going, and it keeps on going. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And you see, again, him trying to grasp for words to describe. He says the breadth and length and depth and height, it goes in all directions to the degree that you can never find the end of it. And that's the love of Christ. And again, he tells us to comprehend that which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And we see in verse 20 that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And I like this in verse 21, unto him be glory in the church. Unto him be glory in the church. That's a job that we've been given as the redeemed, as the saints in light, is to bring him glory. And I hope that we can walk away from here, as I said, encouraged, that we might let our lights shine in this world. And I was thinking of, just again, when I was witnessing to this man, trying to describe to him what faith is, and we go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 is perhaps one of the most well laid out definitions of what faith is. But one thing that I appreciate about what is said there is it talks about the evidence of things not seen. Something we can't see, but there's evidence to it. And we as followers of Christ can be lights in this world. And I just hope that as we go from this place and even just the week that is ahead of us, that we could try to shine a little brighter where we are, that we could be evidence of faith. We won't see the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't come down and reveal himself in person to anybody, but we can be an evidence to the people that we meet each and every day. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son. Again, that he died upon that cross for us. And Father, we think back to the time when we were without him, when we were alone, when we were lost and blind and sick and deaf and dumb in this world. We think of all those people that the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry, he reached out to and he healed in some way. Those that couldn't walk, the leper, the blind, the withered. And Father, I can see so clearly in my own heart that I was found in each and every one of those. But Father, may we rejoice in the riches that have been shown to us and given to us so liberally. Father, what a great victory your Son has won. May his name forever be lifted high, and we look forward to that day where we shall go to our eternal home, where the Lamb is the light, and there'll be no need of the sun. Father, until that time, may we bear the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in our bodies, And we ask it in his name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.